A confused opinion by a confused teacher. This edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, practical principles for daily living. I'm Mike Kellogg, and our teacher is Steve Brown. Now, let's study the Bible together. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon was as profound and sophisticated and biblical as was my pastor's sermon. And I hope your time of worship was as celebratory as was my time of worship. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Daniel. We're going to maybe finish it today. If not today, we'll finish it tomorrow. And personally, I'll be glad. I saw last night on America's Funniest Videos a video of a little kid who was being forced by her mother to eat green beans. And this kid had a temper tantrum. I mean, she ate them, but she didn't like them. And she screamed and said, "I hate green beans. I will never eat a green bean again in my entire life." And she starts banging on the table. And I was sitting there watching. I thought, you know, I feel that way about the prophecies of Daniel. You know, you simply can't skip over these prophecies if you're a Bible teacher and you're studying the book of Daniel, even if you're trying to go through it quickly. So if you were listening last week and you were taking notes, you need to know that the old professor here was going through pure agony. And I'm going to do that one more time today, maybe a little bit tomorrow, as we look at the weeks of Daniel 9. I'm going to, having given you a fairly confused smorgasbord of bunches of facts and opinion, I'm going to tell you what I think. Sort of, today on Key Life. I think it was really important that we pray before we do this, and so let's do it. Father, we come before you, glad that you're a God who is never confused, who when things are to be clear, you make them clear, and when they're not, it's okay to trust them with you. Father, you know everybody listening to this broadcast. You know the things that make us afraid. You know, the loneliness we sometimes experience, the sometimes when we forget about what it was like before you found us. So, Father, we come now as your servants and as your children. We don't come with anything in our hands of any worth, but we come under the imputed righteousness of Christ. Glad that you accept us, that you rejoice in our presence, that you're quite fond of us, and we praise you for that. Father, meet us at the point of our needs. Forgive us, but don't stop there. Change us and make us different. And Father, we praise you because you're worthy, because you're God, because you're everything, because you're infinite, because you're omnipotent and omnipresent and eternal and infinite and immutable and holy and righteous and awesome and sovereign and self-sufficient and good and kind and wise and patient and faithful and gentle and generous and loving and compassionate and forgiving and gracious and merciful and so much more. Now, Father, as we study your word on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible, well, I don't think I'm going to read from the ninth chapter of Daniel, but you ought to read from the ninth chapter of Daniel, because this is the place where most of the controversy about prophecy takes place in the book of Daniel, especially the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, we saw last week that during that 70-week period, verse 24, there are six things that are to be accomplished. Finish transgression, put an end to sin, atone for iniquity, bring everlasting righteousness, seal the vision and the prophet, anoint a most holy place or thing or one. Now, I gave you a bunch of views. I want to tell you, kind of hesitantly, because I don't think anybody is absolutely sure what I think about my view of Daniel 9. It's not from Sinai. It's provisional, and it satisfies me for the time being, and if it makes you angry, just deal with it. First, it's important to recognize the difference between apocalyptic literature and prophetic literature. There are some similarities and there are some differences. Apocalyptic, from the word meaning revealing, apocalypsis, encourages in time of trouble, and sometimes it predicts the future. Prophetic literature predicts the future and sometimes encourages. And so I would suggest that the apocalyptic portions of Daniel were not written primarily to give us precise information about the future. They were written to encourage God's people who were living in exile. Now, that's not to say that the future predictions are not accurate. They are. But that isn't the primary object of the book of Daniel. When we try to split hairs about the prophecy sections, we're being inappropriate. But it is not inappropriate to take the 70 weeks of Daniel symbolically, or to take a portion of the week symbolically. There's a lot of justification for that in the Bible. Seven is the perfect number, and it means completion. Seven is used in biblical literature symbolically, seven candlesticks, seven stars, seven churches. Seven times 70, Jesus said to forgive. The seventh heaven, Jeremiah 70 years, you could go on and on. Because the number seven is used, I believe at least that some of this is to be taken symbolically. I don't feel that it's necessary to make all of the years fit exactly. In fact, when people try to do that, they get into trouble. That's where those books come from that predict exactly the time of Jesus' return by comparing the 70 weeks with the book of Revelation. When people do that, be very, very careful of what they say. Now, the beginning point, I believe, of Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks is 538 and 537 B.C., and the 69 weeks with a total of 483 years is the time between the time of Daniel and the coming of the Anointed One. And who is that? That's the Messiah. Incidentally, of the three possible decrees that were issued to build the temple, the decree of Cyrus in 538 B.C., the order of Artaxerxes to Ezra in 457 B.C., are the order of Nehemiah to carry through with the rebuilding in 455 B.C., none of those dates fit exactly the 483 years of the prophecy. Those who try to make the dates fit say that the decree for the rebuilding of the temple came from God and thus try to make the dates fit. I believe that's a mistake of Scripture and is wrong because it tries to make a preconceived timetable fit in Scripture. No, it doesn't mean that Scripture is wrong. It means that we are wrong. I believe that the 69th week of Daniel ended when Jesus was resurrected, or certainly in 70 A.D. when sacrifice was ended in the temple. The he of the 27th verse of the 9th chapter of Daniel is none other than Jesus himself. He caused sacrifice to end because there was no need for sacrifice. I believe that we are living now in the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. I believe that number is elastic on purpose as we move to the end of that period. Great tribulation will occur at the end of the period. An antichrist will appear, and then Jesus will come back, so you better look busy. I believe that we're living close to the end of the 7-year symbolic period. But I could be wrong. Luther felt the same thing. So did Augustine. So have many of the great leaders of the Christian church. So you got to be careful. Why is that? Because of Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour, no one knows. This is Jesus speaking. This isn't coming from me. not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I have a friend who walked into the pulpit of his church, and his associate was praying right before the sermon. My friend sat down in the big pulpit chair behind the pulpit, and then he realized he had left his notes up in the office. Now, that can ruin a preacher's Sabbath. I just want you to know that. And he thought, what am I going to do? And the associate was getting close to the end of the prayer, and he knew he was in trouble. So he very quietly tipped up behind the associate pastor and said in his ear, Jim, keep praying till I return. It turned into a very long prayer. I mean, his study was like in Philadelphia someplace. I believe that's what Jesus says to us. He said, I like for you to sit around and talk about these sort of things, but you don't know for sure. But listen to me, you keep on praying until I return. You think about that. Amen. Hey, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Let me tell you how it works. Once you let us know by calling 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day or writing Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address. And ask to be a part of Key Life Tapes. We'll do it for you. And you'll start receiving a tape every 7 or 8 weeks, absolutely free, without charge or obligation. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. But these are the tapes of places where I teach the Bible. Reformed Theological Seminary, the Billy Graham Training Center, a Bible conference, a church. And we send those tapes out. If you'd like to be a part of it, just let us know, and they're really free. But listen, if you could help us financially, I would appreciate it so much, and so would so many others. Our policy is to give away hundreds of thousands of free tapes and pieces of literature. And I can't do that if some of you don't help us. So when you help us, you help a bunch of others. You can charge on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. And for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send a cassette dealing with fear. Hey, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.